Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
We saw last Tuesday that these last weeks of the term were really focusing on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we saw last Tuesday that the Holy Spirit never changes. The Holy Spirit within you doesn't change because of your circumstances, because of the way you feel. Whether you're having a good day or a bad day, whether you're challenges, whether everything is easy, whether you're in an easy situation or you're faced with traumatic situations, the Holy Spirit is always the same and never changes. Amen. You may change, but He never does. So you are able to draw upon His resources no matter what situation you're in or no matter how you feel. We saw that when Jesus talked to the disciples about the Holy Spirit at the Last Supper, He didn't talk about the fruit of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or even the power of the Spirit, but of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer, that He would guide us into all the truth. He would be our counselor, the one who would speak on our behalf. It's always tempting for Christians to focus on what the Spirit is going to produce in our lives without necessarily understanding enough of how the Spirit wants to work within our lives. Because the more we cooperate with the way He wants to work within us, the more fruit we will bear. The more we will actually see of His life and power working through us and through our witness. So just as last week we were looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us, the one who would guide us into all the truth and be the counselor. So this morning we're going to focus about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. Then we'll come on to talk about fruit and gifts and so on subsequently in subsequent weeks. But what is the Holy Spirit's ministry in you? And here we need to focus on a word that's sort of there, but we don't usually make a particular focus. But this word is significant in Scripture because according to God's word, it affects our obedience to God's will, the way we serve, the way we witness, the way we love, the way we believe, and the way we get answered prayer. So what word are we talking about? And I've just done a quick word search on my phone, found it's the same word, admittedly translated differently, in German, Italian, French, as well as English. And it's the word conscience. Let's just have a look at what some scriptures say about conscience. Turn to Acts chapter 23. People in the world have consciences, but they're not informed by the Holy Spirit, which is why they believe what they believe and don't believe what we believe. Which is why they behave differently from the way in which we are called to behave. Their consciences are, to all intents and purposes, dead to the Holy Spirit. Chapter 23 of Acts, verse 1. Paul looked at the council members boldly and said, "My brothers, I stand before you with a clear conscience that to this day I have lived to fulfill God's will." Now, this is a phrase we're going to keep coming across, a clear conscience. A clear conscience enables you to do God's will. A guilty conscience will get in the way of doing God's will. So we need to have clear consciences, whatever that means. Let's go on to chapter 24, verse 16. Believing this, I always endeavor to keep a clear conscience before both God and man. So it's going to be important to have a clear conscience, not only before God, but before others. It's important for me to stand before you as I speak this morning with a clear conscience. Because without a clear conscience, your confidence is affected negatively. Without a clear conscience, you will lack confidence. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 3, I thank God, for like my forefathers, I serve him with a clear conscience and pray for you unceasingly by day and night. What we're going to discover is that a clear conscience affects your effectiveness in prayer. If we pray with a clear conscience, we can be sure, according to the scripture, that God will answer us. But we'll come to that a little bit later. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. I'm taking you through all the scriptures first, and then we're going to come back and sort of try to put them all together for you. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. Now we have great confidence, and our consciences bear witness that we have behaved righteously in this world, and especially in the ways we have related to you in the holiness and sincere love that we received from God. So a clear conscience not only affects your confidence, but it affects the way in which you live in holiness and in the sincere love, remembering that God has poured that love into your heart by the Holy Spirit, but a clear conscience affects the way in which you live in that love. Let's go to 1 Timothy now. Just have a couple more scriptures now and one more later on. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Love is the motive behind this command. The kind of love that comes from a pure heart is inspired by faith and results from having a clear conscience. Now, there's a direct relationship between love, faith, and a clear conscience. Are you there? Verse 19 of chapter 1. I'll read from verse 18 because I'm reading from the truth. And it's all sort of together. Timothy, my son, in line with the prophecies that have been spoken over your life, I give you these instructions so that by obeying them you may fight the good fight of faith that comes from having a clear conscience. We're all called to fight the good fight of faith. The ability to do that comes from a clear conscience. Now, what I want you to understand, why we've read through all these scriptures, is having a clear conscience has very practical outworking in your life. It produces or enables your witness, your confidence, the way in which you love God, the way in which you obey him, the way in which you can stand before men, the way in which you can fight the good fight of faith. All those things are influenced by having a clear conscience. Now, your conscience is really part of the life of your human spirit that God has put within you. That's why people in the world because they're not spiritually alive, their consciences are not informed by the Holy Spirit. They have a conscience, but to all intents and purposes, in many respects, especially in the purposes of God, that conscience is not alive. But when the Spirit of God comes to live in you, you have a different ability to know the will of God because of the way in which the Holy Spirit informs your conscience. What the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives is to bear witness to the truth. Now, the enemy can't get into your spirit. He can attack your body, he can attack your soul, but he can't get into your spirit where the Holy Spirit is. But he still wants to attack the spirit, but he can only do it from outside. And the way that he does that is principally through accusation. All accusation is a work of the devil. Even if it's in the mouths of Christians, it is still a work of the devil. Because accusation, the purpose of accusation is to bring condemnation. So all accusation is to bring condemnation. And condemnation robs you of confidence. It damages your conscience. So what the enemy is trying to do is to give you a guilty conscience through accusation. Whether it's right accusation or false accusation, accusation has that effect. So that is why we need to take the shield of faith against all accusation. Now, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. Through your conscience being informed by the Spirit of God, declaring the word of truth that we were talking about last week, the Holy Spirit wants to move you to repentance and therefore to freedom from guilt. Now, that's very different from accusation, you see. The purpose of accusation is to make you feel condemned. The purpose of the way in which the Spirit operates is to lead you to repentance and freedom from guilt, so that you then have a clear conscience. The enemy wants you to have a guilty conscience. The enemy wants you to have a clear conscience. Now, the enemy is actually good at giving people guilty feelings or guilty conscience, even when they're not guilty. Because a lot of his accusation is false. But even when it's right that he accuses you of something you have done, that accusation always leaves out the victory and power of the blood. It's as if the blood has no effect upon your life. So his accusations are trying to get you to disbelieve the power of the blood and the effectiveness of God's forgiveness and restoration in your life. So we are not those who listen to the enemy, but only those who listen to the Spirit. So the Spirit of God always operates in our lives in conjunction with the blood. Because he's guiding us into all the truth, you see, the Holy Spirit will remind you of the blood. Amen. The devil will keep accusing. The Spirit will remind you of the blood. Amen. And he'll do that because the Holy Spirit knows how important it is for you to have a clear conscience. It's very difficult, isn't it, to define exactly what your conscience is. But you know when you have a clear conscience, because you feel free, you don't feel guilty, You are confident and you feel able to do whatever it is that God is asking you to do. Whereas when your conscience isn't clear, you feel guilty, you feel low, you feel under condemnation, and you are robbed of your confidence and of your expectation that your witness, your prayer, your ministry is really going to be effective in the way that God intends. So even if it's difficult to define, you sure know the difference between when your conscience is right before God and man and when it isn't. The important thing, and this is why I've spoken about the enemy first of all, is not to allow your conscience to come under the false accusations of the enemy or any accusations of the enemy. The Holy Spirit will never confuse, he'll only, will never accuse, he will only convict in order to liberate you. The enemy will always accuse in order to put you in bondage. In what God has been talking to us about these last weeks, the various aspects of covenant, it's so that in the body of Christ there's absolutely no accusation. Accusation causes division, it causes separation. It robs people of the ability to be confident with one another. You want to avoid people that accuse you, but you gravitate towards those who accept you.
Yes.
So it's very important that even in the body of Christ, everybody is there functioning with a good conscience, with a clear conscience. Now let's try to see how this works. Your conscience is something that is very delicate. That's the first thing that you have to understand. Because it is part of that spirit, your spirit can be strong, but it's always delicate. And therefore, we don't want to allow anything that is going to damage our consciences. Now, when you do something that's wrong, if you do it deliberately, you deliberately choose to sin in some way, your conscience is immediately going to be damaged. It's going to rear up. That's the Holy Spirit saying, "What have you done? That was not wise. That was not right. That has not blessed." Not accusing, but showing you that what you have done has not been the will of God. Therefore, repent and come back to His will. The more we live with a clear conscience, the easier it is for us to listen and to hear the voice of the Spirit. Now, this is absolute fundamental importance of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. A damaged conscience makes it very difficult to hear clearly the voice of the Spirit. But when you have a clear conscience, you can receive revelation and you can be a channel of revelation to others very freely. So there's immense fruit comes out of this. So the Holy Spirit is going to immediately tell you when you have done something wrong. But of course, the Holy Spirit will use your conscience to warn you before ever you get to that point, if you are really sensitive to the voice of the Spirit because you're seeking to live with a clear conscience. You will hear His voice of warning before the deed is done. Hello? It's like the Holy Spirit saying to you, "You will regret it if you do it." It's not accusing. It's not slapping you down. It's just warning you. Don't do it. You will offend God, therefore you will have a damaged conscience. And yes, 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 you can get forgiven and restored, but how much better not to do it in the first place? So the Holy Spirit is always there working in conjunction with your conscience. Now, by the same token, the Holy Spirit wants to move you to right action. So he stirs your conscience, your consciousness, really, as to what it's right to do in a particular situation. And this is where you feel moved deep within you somehow, that you are to do a specific thing. You are to love that person. You are to go to that place. You are to go to that person. You are to witness to this one. You are to do something for that one, whatever it may be. It's like the Holy Spirit is stirring your conscience. Now, you then have to make a decision. You then have to make a decision to obey or not. But if you don't obey, your conscience is damaged. You feel it in your conscience. And it isn't that the Holy Spirit doesn't keep on. He is not a nagging wife like the devil is. We were talking about that in one of the lectures the other day. The devil nags, but the Holy Spirit doesn't nag. He just plants the seed of truth, but then your conscience gets to work on that seed. And if you don't act in obedience, your conscience then begins to feel that you should have done. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you're left with this dilemma. Until, of course, because of the working of conscience, you decide, I better do it. Then immediately you're free. Now that's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you, you see. He's not nagging you. He's not keeping on. He's not forcing you. He's just planting that seed in your spirit, and he leaves it to your conscience to draw you to making the right decision. Now, of course, a believer who's walking in disobedience, the Spirit can keep planting that word, and the believer won't respond. Because, you see, God will not interfere with our free will, we have various inward mechanisms of trying to silence the voice of conscience. We try to bury what God is saying if we don't like it, if it stirs our conscience in a way we don't want to. And then we employ our reason. We begin to reason, which is, of course, an activity of the soul, not the spirit. We begin to reason, to try to find some good reason for not doing what the Spirit is bearing witness we should do. The other thing to get away from this sort of stirring of our consciences is to make ourselves so busy in doing other things that we can get away from the voice of conscience. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Yes. Now, all those devices are, of course, human devices that only keep us from doing the will of God. It's not just a question of knowing that we ought to do the will of God, but of understanding that your conscience is key to your motivation. That when you have a clear conscience before God and man, you are motivated to do the will of God. Hello? It's easy for you to respond to that inner witness of the Holy Spirit and obey whatever it is he's asking you to do. When your conscience is damaged in some way because of a disobedience in your life, then you will not respond in the same way to whatever the Spirit is asking you to do. You won't even be able to hear, to hear the voice of the Spirit so clearly. This is because your spirit is becoming contaminated through your disobedience. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates spirit, body, not soul and body, but spirit and body. If you do not respond, your conscience gets damaged, and if that's allowed to become a pattern at a particular time, what happens actually is you get a contaminated spirit. Hello? And when you have that condition, then it's much more difficult to hear the voice of God and respond to the voice of God until you understand what's happening and you get the blood to cleanse you. But the interesting thing is, you see, that Paul doesn't say, ask the Lord to contaminate your spirit and body. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates spirit and body. In other words, if there's anything contaminating your spirit, it's your fault. And you have got to make decisions now that, yes, the blood will forgive you, but you've got to make decisions to then live with a clear conscience before God and man. Are we getting this? Making sense to you? I want a better yes than that. Is it making sense to you? You understand what I'm saying? Right, okay. So this inner working of what we call conscience is absolutely pivotal to whether we're going to obey or disobey. Therefore, the way we will exercise love or not. You see, one with a good conscience will love whenever there's the opportunity to love. The one who's not got a clear conscience will reason why he shouldn't love, reason why he doesn't have to give, reason why he doesn't have to get involved. And at the same time, he will be denying the witness of the Spirit and actually, therefore, what the Word of God declares. It affects our faith. See, Paul said that to Timothy that you fight the good fight of faith from a clear conscience. Because, you see, when you fight the fight of faith, the fighting aspect of faith, it's so that you overcome. And when you have to overcome, you need to overcome the enemy and the way the enemy is working in a particular situation. That's why the enemy wants to accuse so that you don't have a clear conscience and overcome. Are you there? So he'll try to undermine that confidence. And so you see the results, either positive or negative, from having a clear conscience, that when you're involved in a situation, if things don't get resolved, you can't understand why aren't I seeing change in these circumstances. And what you don't realize always is that actually the answer to that problem starts within yourself. Not that you go searching into your past or searching into yourself, but you need to stand before God and see if your conscience is clear. Because, you see, the Holy Spirit will not accuse, but he will convict you of anything that is unrighteous, anything that is unholy in God's sight, anything that will therefore undermine your confidence, therefore undermine your faith, therefore undermine your ability to overcome. So you see, you can have the enemy accusing you of something that has got nothing to do with the circumstances that you're concerned with and that you're involved with. And you think, well, why aren't I seeing the power of God or the release of God or the victory of God in this situation? And actually, it's because the enemy is accusing you of something totally different, but it's undermining your confidence because it's giving you a defiled conscience. I don't know how else to explain it. That robs you of your confidence when you're facing another situation. So we want the Holy Spirit to convict us of sin. Even sin that we don't see for ourselves. Even of sin that we don't even realize is sin. You know, whenever you go through a time of repentance, you always find yourself repenting of things that you didn't know you needed to repent of. And that's simply because you are giving God the opportunity to show you things that are less than His best. And therefore, He doesn't want in your life. Now, the great thing is, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all defilement, cleanses us from everything that is unrighteous. And when you know that, it doesn't matter what you did. You see, the enemy, part of his accusation is to keep you in bondage to what you did, even though it's been forgiven. But love keeps no record of wrongs. If love kept record of wrongs, you would never have confidence. You would always have a damaged conscience. Because you would always know, I did wrong. But you see, the great thing about God's forgiveness is that it cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we know we can stand before the throne of God, clothed with Christ, robed with His righteousness, totally accepted in His sight. We can stand there before God with a clear conscience. And if we can stand before God with a clear conscience, we can stand before man with a clear conscience. This is why the Lord will never remind you of past sin. The only one who will ever do that is the devil, because he wants to try to keep you in bondage to what actually has already been covered by the blood. False accusation. But you stand completely clean. You see, what is a clear conscience? It's a clean conscience. So you see, as Paul said in one of those scriptures that we just read out, there is a clear connection between a pure heart and a clear conscience. Create in me a pure heart and renew a right spirit within me. What's a right spirit? A clear conscience. You see, he'd lost that. David had lost that through committing adultery with Bathsheba and being responsible for her husband's death. He realized that the nature was not of what was wrong, was not just the acts, but the heart that was behind the acts. So against you, you only have I sinned, he says. So create in me a clear heart and renew a right spirit. Get me back to having a good conscience before you and before men. That clear conscience, that right spirit will give you the right motivation. So you won't be motivated as David was when he sinned by wrong desires, but you will be motivated by once again wanting to please God and obey His will. Are we getting this? So, the thing I want you to understand this morning is that the Holy Spirit works within you by appealing to your conscience. If we listen to the witness of the Spirit and respond to what He's saying, He will keep our consciences clean, clear, before God and man, so that we can be confident. You know, we often hear people praying, Lord, give me more boldness. The boldness will come from having a clear conscience. Now, you can have a boldness that is a different kind of boldness, but when you have that boldness, you see, when you've got that confidence, you then have an outward expression of boldness. Don't compare that boldness with the boldness you see in others, but it will enable you to be more bold. And as you live with a clear conscience, so you will become bolder and bolder in the Lord. Now, I want to just say one more thing about this, and then we've just got another paragraph to finish with. It's a long paragraph, but another paragraph. I said to you the other day, the problem for many believers in relation to revival is that they go looking for revival in other places. You see, you can get on a plane and you can go somewhere where a move of God is happening and you can be blessed and you can bring some blessing back, but you can't bring revival back. In fact, what you went to may not have been revival. It might just have been a move of God's Spirit. Because revival never happens as the result of response to external stimuli. It has to be the working of the Holy Spirit within. All revival is of the Spirit, and the Spirit works from within, not from without. You can respond for a time to what is without and be blessed, but unless you get that inner working, that inner transformation of the Spirit, you will never know what revival is. You will pray for it without ever experiencing it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's the trouble. You can get on a plane, but if you don't let God deal with the innermost workings of your spirit, then you may be blessed and you may spend a fortune on British Airways, which you should have given to Kingdom Faith instead, but you will not experience revival. And just a few miracles and a few weeks of blessing is not revival. So it's allowing the Spirit to work from within. The enemy works from without. The Spirit works from within. That's why, you see, you can't import a move of God from one place to another. Because whatever God is going to do here, at Rafi, for example, or in Kingdom Faith, he will do from the work that he does within the believers. That will then produce the fruit that will go out and be a blessing not only to Horsham, but to the 25-mile radius, to the nation and beyond. But it'll all have to come from within.
Yes.
Now, you see, a crucial factor in that is the working of your conscience. Because that is what enables the Holy Spirit to increase the fruitfulness of your life. If you're not responding to the witness of the Holy Spirit, if you're not in a good place, conscience is not in a good place, there won't be that confidence, there won't be that spiritual growth, there won't be that development that God wants to see. You might get dragged along by what's happening in the corporate dynamic, but God doesn't want you to be dragged along. He wants you to walk with him, with confidence, with boldness, in faith, in love, in unity. Now, actually, Pastor Clive was speaking all about this on Sunday morning. from a completely different angle, but was saying the same thing, you see, when he talked about live clean. Don't have anything to do, this isn't the language that he used, but what he was saying was don't have anything to do with anything that would damage your conscience and therefore undermine your confidence and therefore affect negatively your witness. It's all the same message. All I'm just explaining to you is how it actually works within you. When you understand how it works, you realize that sin in one area of your life affects every area of your life. It doesn't just affect that one area, because it damages your conscience and therefore undermines your confidence. You can't even pray with the faith that would be possible without that one area of sin. All these things have a knock-on effect. Okay, let's just look at one more scripture, then we're going to pray. 1 John 3. Verse 21, my dear friends, if there is nothing in our hearts, let's put in brackets there, therefore in our consciences, to make us feel condemned, we can have confidence before God when we pray, and so are able to receive from Him anything we ask. You say, when you have confidence, when you can stand before God through His mercy and grace, not because of what you've done, but through His mercy and grace, because you're clothed with Christ, you're robed in His righteousness, you're standing in full acceptance, any known sin in your life has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. There is nothing to undermine your confidence in prayer. You can be bold not only in what you ask, but what you expect to happen in response to what you ask. And John explains, this is because we are living in obedience to His commands and are doing what pleases Him. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit within you. To work with your conscience, to stir your conscience, so that you will obey His commands and do what pleases Him. The result is you will have confidence before God and man. You will love when He tells you to love. You will be able to believe whatever He asks you to believe. And when you pray, it will be with the expectation that you will be answered. Praise God. Let's all stand, shall we? Now let's just praise the Lord for His blood, first of all. The Spirit and the blood work together. So let's praise Him for the blood. The overcoming, victorious power of the blood. To cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that You took all that guilt upon Yourself when You went to the cross, so that we do not have to live with guilty consciences. Praise Your holy name. Puratapariya letu bakarasita di sataria letu bakarasita. Oh, hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Now thank him for the gift of the Holy Spirit living within you. Praise you, Lord, for such a precious gift that you yourself, you have come to live us within us in the person of your Spirit. Thank you that you live personally within us. How we bless you, how we praise you, how we exalt you, Lord. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Puratapare leto bakara sitri satoba. Now thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit takes the blood and applies it. That you enable us, Lord, you stir us, you encourage us to take that blood and to apply it to every area of our lives. And Lord, we do that this morning. We take that blood. Now we know, Lord, that we have to be very specific. If we want clear consciences, we can't just say, oh Lord, forgive all my sins. Lord, we just take that blood now and we apply it to any known sin, any failure that you convict us of and make us aware of. We apply that blood right now, and we thank you, Lord, that it cleanses us from all guilt so that our consciences will no longer be damaged by that sin. So just do that quietly now. But be specific. There's no such thing as a general confession of sins. It always has to be specific. You confess your sins, not confess the fact that you have sinned. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So thank you, Lord, that as each of those specific sins is brought under the power of your blood, all the guilt vanishes. And we no longer need to have guilty consciences because of any past sin or failure. We praise you, Jesus. We give you all the glory, Lord. We want to be like your apostle who says that he served you throughout his life with a good conscience, with a clean conscience. Thank you, Lord. And as he encouraged his young disciple, Timothy, so, Lord, we are being encouraged by your word this morning. As your disciples, to live with clean, clear consciences. So we praise you for that blood. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for the convicting power. Now we stand against all the lying accusation and condemnations of the enemy. Come on, take that shield of faith right now. You're not going to allow your conscience to be undermined or your confidence to be undermined by listening to anything false, anything negative, any accusing thought or word spoken either through someone else or just in your own mind. We take that shield of faith against all those things. Lord, we submit ourselves to you because we are people that are dedicated, devoted to pleasing you, to walking in your ways, to fulfilling your plans and your purposes, your will for our lives. So we say no to every work of the enemy. Hallelujah. We praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Come on, just praise him for the victory that you have over the enemy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, you can see from what we've shared about covenant in these last weeks, you're never to listen to an accusation against another believer.
Amen.
Otherwise, you just share in the devil's work. So let's just be clear now that we do not accuse, we do not judge, right? That just as we want to stand before God with a clear conscience, with a clean conscience, so we pray for all our brothers and sisters. We thank you, Lord, that even if some are guilty sometimes, your Holy Spirit will work within them in conjunction with their conscience to bring them under conviction, to set them free from all the guilt. Oh, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We want to see others restored to that place of confidence before you. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless you, Jesus. Now just remember, you know, sin in one area can affect the whole of your life, your confidence in every area. So just thank the Lord now that because of his cleansing power, you are going to be more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Your confidence is going to grow. Come on, just thank him for that. Just pray that over your life. Speak that over your life. Lord, my confidence is going to grow now because I understand more of the inner workings of your Spirit within me and in conjunction with my conscience in applying the blood, dealing with all the guilt, denying all accusation, using that shield of faith, enabling me to stand strong before you and before others, not in my own strength, but in the strength of your Spirit, in the strength that comes from faith in you and dependence upon you. And I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I exalt you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Let's have some musicians forward because we need to praise the Lord for his victory this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.